Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons. My name is Maria Wilson Duff, and Sherry and Jason have the night off. This is two weekends in a row for them, so I'm sure they don't know what to do with themselves, but maybe they will enjoy. We're going to have part two this evening. Last weekend, we had what you would call part one with my guest, Libertaris, and we talked about privacy rights and the invasion of the governments and the corporations and what you can do to kind of protect yourself, your personal information and things like that. So tonight we're going to kind of go through that again, just pick up where we left off. And we're also going to try to throw in a few of the government involvement with the UFOs and ufology, and we're going to talk a little bit about disinformation and things like that. So I'll go ahead and bring the guest on. Can you hear me?
Yes, good evening.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Maria. And how about yourself?
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I hope we can pick up where we left off from last weekend.
We got pretty deep in it. Well, if you want to start off with some of the history of the government spying on us, first I'll blow my whistle and tell you that because I keep up with the technical news, I knew what they were doing actually before Edward Snowden released the information. As a matter of fact, with my football buddy, I used to rant because it's one thing that's upsetting to be spied on by my own government. So I told him what was going on, and he never really commented too much, and that was a friend of mine. I also told an individual that was the global IT manager for a corporation, and they said to me, you have some very different views. But back in June of 2013, the Edward Snowden information came out. Now, there's a lot of misnomers about it, and a lot of politicians claim that Snowden published all this information. He actually published no information. But what he did is he picked three journalists that he viewed as trustworthy journalists, and he gave them the information. At the same time he gave them the information, he cautioned them that some of the information could be damaging to our country and to certain individuals, and to use discretion. So none of them really released anything that would put any particular person in harm. So he gave those to three people. One was Glenn Greenwald and another gentleman, and I may butcher his name, it was Ian McCaskill. And both of those two gentlemen wrote for a publication in the UK called The Guardian. The third person he gave the information to was a woman by the name of Laura Petraeus. And what she does is she does documentaries. And I believe she did the Snowden documentary. But they were, at the time, probably 10 what they call highlights to what was going on at the time. For example, there was a secret court order that went to the phone companies to supply them with all of our phone records. And they weren't allowed to tell anyone that they received the court order. The second one that they termed as a big one was called, excuse me, PRISM. And it required the large tech giants to supply the NSA with user information. And then also, and we can talk about it later, let me just bring it up now and then we can continue with the Big Ten. But the okay. British government communication headquarters is referred to as the GCHQ. And what they did is they tapped the fiber optic cables and shared the information with the NSA. They called that Tempora was the name of that program. A lot of people don't understand because it's something that they just never deal with, but all of the internet and phone traffic goes over fiber optic cables. Some of them are buried at the floor of the ocean, and some of them actually sit on the floor of the ocean, and that's how the data goes throughout the world. What also was released is that the NSA spies on foreign countries and leaders. There's a German magazine, it's the name of it is Spiegel, and they publish in both German and English, and they revealed that the NSA was spying on 122 world leaders. Probably the most scary thing that came out, and it means something to all of us, not the name, but they called it X key score. And what that did, it was almost like a computer system where if they had your email address, they could call up information with anyone in the globe with an email address. And as part of that, they could get your browsing history, for example, any internet searches you did, the content of your emails, online chats, and certainly all the metadata that goes along with it. Now, there's a lot of confusing terms about what the information is, but what metadata is, and the government uses that term, is when you send someone an email, the metadata to the email would be the email address, the subject line, the date, and the time. That's what they consider metadata, by the way. So X key score was probably the scariest thing because they could get information on any of us. So in other words, our history has been sucked up and stored on remote servers. There was another a program that had, they called it Bull Run. And what they're trying to do, by the way, is they're trying to weaken encryption. And everyone should use encryption or learn encryption. So they were trying to either circumvent it, force companies to install backdoors. They were hacking servers and stealing the encryption keys, and they were promoting the use of weaker encryption algorithms. And they tried to force the large tech companies to cooperate. Now, what was in the news just this past week is, and I can't remember the name of the government committee, but Lindsey Graham is on it. He's one of them, and there's an older senator, Dianne Feinstein from California, and they keep pushing the tech companies to weaken encryption. They want them to create a backdoor that can easily be accessed by the government. But you can't have a backdoor that won't be able to get hacked by hackers. So much of our data, bank data, personal data, medical data, it's all communicated in encrypted form. And if you do that, it's going to expose a lot of people. And then they expose what they call an elite hacking team or tailored access operation. So what that really was is if they could not use their conventional systems to obtain the information on a group or an individual, they would actually assign a team to attack that person. Wow. The eighth one is the NSA, they actually cracked Google and Yahoo data centers and what's called the Google Cloud. And we talked a little bit about that. Clouds are remote servers.
Right.
Another interesting thing, Maria, for your listeners is that Yahoo, for anyone that has Yahoo Mail, they actually wrote a program for the NSA to receive any email you send or receive. So I think that would be a good hint to stop using Yahoo Mail if you have that. They also,
you know, you just don't hear that every day.
No, you don't. And it's, it, you know, if you don't keep up with it, and I understand everyone can't keep up with it, that's a scary thing. So, yes, it's bad enough when the government's hacking the systems. It's another thing when the companies like Yahoo cooperate and write a program. So the minute I read that, all of us probably had a Yahoo account at one time. As soon as I read that, I stopped using Yahoo. Another thing that came out is they are sucking up all text messages. Now, back in 2013, that amounted to 200 million text messages per day. Now, I don't know how many there would be today, but I'll bet there's a lot more people on computers now, wouldn't you say, Maria, than 2013?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So there also, by the way, at that time was a cell phone encryption called A5-1, and I guess that's a real weak encryption, and hopefully it's been improved since then. This was an interesting thing, and I really think they used it to test their systems, but they were collecting all phone calls and texts from the Bahamas, and I believe that did get some publicity, as well as Afghanistan and Norway. They were recording at that time audio calls, 100 million call events per day, and I just said audio because they tell you they don't collect your audio. So those were kind of the 10 key things that came out in 2013. Now, all of these things, all of the information, it's all out there, and you can read it. One of the publications I would recommend to people, and I don't always personally agree with them, but when I read that the people in Washington don't like it, I said, well, it's probably for me then. But it's called The Intercept. Exactly how one would pronounce it. And that is the managing editor. The editor there is Glenn Greenwald. And I think the publication, Maria, was originally started to expose some of this information. So if you go there and you do a search, you can read all about this information that was released. And they still haven't released all of the information. There's just so much. But those were the major highlights to what they were doing at the time. It's funny, though, if you read other documents, they were doing crazy things. They would hack web forums, credit card information, phone location data. They spied on all the embassies. They were spying on what they call the G8 and G20 summits that were held in Canada, the Brazil Ministry of Mines and Energy. They were targeting Microsoft, by the way. We already talked about Google and Yahoo. They were using any, this is kind of funny, they were using, if anyone they considered a radical was sending any emails or texts that include something sexual, they were trying to use that to blackmail them. But another scary thing they did, most people aren't aware of this, but they infected computers of 50,000 journalists worldwide. Now, that's a lot. And the NSA was actually storing data on UK citizens here, business records, cloud information, people's contact lists. They were doing it here. Now, Maria, are you familiar with the term the five eyes? You've probably heard that.
I have heard that before, yes.
Right. So what the five eyes is it's a conglomeration of five countries. And it's the United States, Canada, Australia, the UK and New Zealand, and they all share information that they collect from the communications of their people, the internet use of their people. And I've also read several times, but I can't find anything to prove it, that they give Israel access to that information. Don't ask me why. And again, I can't prove it, but I've read it numerous times that that's what's going on. It's pretty scary, isn't it?
It's all pretty scary. I mean, there's nothing that you, when you, especially when you were talking about with the journalists, they do a lot on their computers and phones and things like that. And if they had a certain source they were trying to keep private, there wouldn't, if they put any of that information whatsoever, that would not stay private.
And you're so right, too. And over the years, they've tapped phones of many people, many journalists. And they do some crazy things. Now, I know a lady, and you know her, too, but I won't say her name on the air. And I think she's a bright lady. But one of the things I was telling her one time is that the government was actually, they were intercepting UPS shipments of computer equipment. They were installing malware on the systems of people so that they could spy on it, repackaging the equipment, and then letting UPS deliver it. And it was funny. This lady said, no way, no way. So I went and I located three articles about it, and I said, would you like some more? Because, I mean, it's just, there is no end to some of this stuff that happens. There's just no end to it at all.
Well, a lot of people don't pay attention to that because it's news that they see on the internet, things like that. It's not, a lot of this stuff is never, ever put on the major news feeds. And of course, you can flip through all of the channels, and they're all telling the exact same news. They're just putting a different tone of voice to it or something ridiculous to it. I mean, it's all spoon-fed to them.
No, that's true. There's a guy, his name is Dan Willis, and he was one of the people that testified at the 2001 Washington D.C. Press Club Disclosure Project. Well, mm-hmm. he was a newscaster at one time, and it's funny, he'll play it. There was some story, I forget what was said, and it was about ufology, and I don't know how it happened, but he had to have had at least 10 news stations reading the exact same words and all laughing about it when they read it. It's just incredible, Maria, how things are kind of fixed and how that works. Now, have you ever heard of, and I'll tell you what the technical name is, you know how we, facial tissues, we call them Kleenex and cola drinks. Some people will refer to them as a Coke, even though Coke is a brand name.
Right.
Well, there's a thing called, that people refer to it that way, as a stingray. Have you ever heard of a piece of equipment people call a stingray?
I have, and I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
And I always equate it to a Corvette.
No, I hear you. Everyone wants a vet. I don't think I could get in and out of one, not because I'm big, but because I'm too tall. But anyways, it's officially called an IMSI, which stands for International Mobile Subscription Identity Catcher. But they're calling it a stingray, and that's because this company called Harris Corporation makes it. And what it is, it's a device, and, you know, it's a portable device, and it fools cell phones into thinking it's a cell tower. So it can emulate four cell towers at the same time. And the police have these things. Now, what's kind of funny is there is information out there, and I could share it with you sometime if you're interested. I don't know the story behind why, but at one time the FBI had to approve police obtaining one of these Stingray devices, or IMSI catchers. They made police departments, and I have examples, I'll gladly show you sometime, sign non-disclosure agreements that they would not divulge the existence of this equipment, and that they would not divulge it even in court. So there were a number of court cases over a period of time that were actually dropped because they did not want it getting out that there are these devices. They also made them assign in the non-disclosure agreement. They recommended that. Now, the press used a term, and this is not the term the FBI used, but it means the same thing. They told them to do alternative reconstruction. So that's just another nice term for lie. So they would say they obtained They would say they obtained information another way, Maria. So these the press will lead you to believe that when they locate you with your cell phone, that they're triangulating you. So they're taking the signal from three different cell towers and kind of locating you within that area. These IMSI devices will locate you hiding in the closet at your friend's house. That's how accurate they are. The problem with these things is, and they were using them without warrants, but the problem is with these things, they don't just suck up the person they're looking for, they suck up everybody's data. And it shows your phone number, and they can easily get your phone. It shows your exact location. And these things are being used surreptitiously by different agencies and police all over the country. And it's really kind of scary, but that's, you know, another part of the surveillance state we have to live in now.
Well, I know I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but in the mornings I'll turn it on to have some noise going. And there are programs like NCIS and I think like, I don't know, anyways. But the way that they show a lot of the stuff that they do as far as tracking people, but a lot of people don't realize that this actually happens. It's not just, and I know a lot of it is fake. You know, there's no way that they can actually do a lot of the things that they say that they can do, but they pretty much show you that they can hack anything that you have. They can hack into any security cameras. They can hack into your computers, and they can do this, and they don't have to get a warrant. They just do it.
Yeah, they just do it. They're supposed to get warrants, but they don't. And the NSA is supposed to only track communications with foreign entities, but they suck up everything from us, and they're never going to tell people the truth. Now, last week it was kind of funny. We talked about the Ring doorbell camera, but did you hear some of the stuff that was going on with the Ring security interior security cameras this past week?
Yes. That came out this week, and that was really creepy. Somebody was talking to a child.
Yes, in one home, yes. So
and
what happened
to other people, that's awful.
Yes, so there's a group of people that can easily hack the Ring security systems. So not only can they see you when you're on camera in your house, but they can talk to you, and it's pretty scary. And they were doing that with people. But Maria, I can't emphasize enough for your listeners not to store anything on what they call the cloud or remote servers. They're just not secure. You can have a home security system and get your own storage device and store it locally. It's not that difficult, but it's just kind of interesting that we were talking about the Ring doorbells last week, and then
right.
they were in the,
and then this comes out.
and then this comes out. The timing was really good. One thing that you and I talked about, and anyone that listened last week knows I don't have a Facebook account, but remember the country of Hungary fined Facebook $4 million. And on the front of the Facebook sign-up, it used to say it's free and anyone can join. But they fined Facebook because the country of Hungary finally stood up and said, no, it's not free. You're paying for it with your personal information. So instead of on the Facebook sign-up page is saying it's free and anyone can join, it now says sign up, it's quick and easy. I got a chuckle out of that, but it's funny, you don't hear that anywhere on the mainstream media. None of those people, they don't talk about things like that. I don't know, I got a kick out of it when I saw it.
Right, and you have to go to alternate news. And then the bad part about that, too, is that if you don't know that source, then you can't trust, you don't know if you can trust that. And so, basically, trying to get any kind of news, good luck. If you don't find it out yourself and go investigate it, you don't know if it's the truth or not anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of true. That is true. You know what was really funny is, it wasn't funny. You remember when it came out that that the CIA was torturing people? And they were doing it at what they call black sites in other countries, and then Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a very nice thing that we torture people. And the funny part of it is when it leaked out, there was a Senate committee to research what was going on. Of course, the CIA purposely, they videotaped all of that stuff. And they were waterboarding people. Do you know what that is, Maria? Maria? Are you there?
I'm here. Maria? Sorry, I had muted because I had coughed. Waterboarding is where they had put towels over their face and then they pour water over them.
Exactly. It's simulated drowning. They tilt them back and do exactly that. They were stripping people, chaining them up, tying them up in positions that would be detrimental, having them with no clothes, throwing water on them, letting them freeze, and the list goes on. But anyways, when that leaked out, there was a Senate committee that was doing an investigation. And I have to laugh because Senator Dianne Feinstein from California, who has never met a spying program she didn't fully support, was in charge of this investigation. So while her people were searching computers, the CIA hacked the people on her committee to monitor what they were searching. And that actually came out too. And I had to kind of chuckle. She wasn't real pleased about it, but she's fine when they spy on us. But when they spied on her committee, she got all upset about it. So when I read that, Maria, I got a good chuckle out of it. But, you know, it's really funny. All this stuff happened, and no one ever pays the price. Whether it was Clinton's server at her house or Biden's son, making $50,000 a month as a consultant to an energy company, the massive spying on Americans. They lied to Congress, James Clapper, about it when he was directly asked. Nothing ever happens to those people. No, they promote them. So they take this former CIA director, now he's Secretary of State. They take the person that's in charge of torturing people, and now she's the head of the CIA. So no one pays the price for doing anything illegal, and they promote those people. It's I don't know, there's just, things aren't right these days, you know what I mean?
It is crazy, and it blows my mind, because the more that I hear about it, and gosh, things like that, it makes you wonder how they can enforce laws on us little people, on us taxpayers, when the people that are passing the laws are doing whatever in the hell they want, and nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's even really having a fit about it.
No,
if somebody came to your house and beat up your child or your spouse or you, and you would go straight to the police department, or you would call them and have them come after those people. And we're watching this stuff on TV, and it's coming across the news, but you don't hear anybody doing anything about it or even talking about enforcing laws.
No, they don't. No one.
Whenever they destroy the evidence, the servers just kind of disappeared or they were destroyed. Isn't that tampering with evidence?
Are automated license plate readers legal where you live? Do you know?
That I do not know. Like, are you talking about, like, cameras capturing them?
No, there's a device that the police buy. It's an automatic license plate reader. And as they're driving along, it captures the license plates within view of this camera, and it's hooked to a computer system. So all of the cars going by, they get the names and addresses of whoever the license plate is registered to. I know my state doesn't have a law against it. There's only one police department that has them that I'm aware of, but it's unfortunate because there's no rules around retaining the data and deleting the data and where the data goes and things like that. It's funny. I
have been told by a police officer. Now, this was in a different city. That they have to have a specific reason to call in and check on a license.
Yeah, it's funny. That's true. I've heard that, and they're a lot more strict about that nowadays than they used to be. So if that's the case, how can they just automatically get everyone's address from their license plate? It doesn't seem like it makes sense, does it?
Well, because your vehicle's registered to you and your name, and it's all connected.
Right, but that's no different than them calling in a license plate number to find out who it is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And if they put limits on that, how can they allow the automated system to work?
Right.
Another thing I read, it was kind of humorous. The NSA built a big, massive data center, and that's close to Bluffdale, Utah. It's over 1 million square feet. But it was funny that one of the government people out there, not federal, state government people, wanted to shut it down by shutting their utilities off. But they are the largest water user in the state of Nevada because all the computers are water cooled. I chuckled when I saw there was a guy in Texas that wanted to do that too, a politician in Texas. So, of course, I'm reading that stuff. I'm I'm kind of cheering them on, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean,
well,
have
now,
you ever seen pictures? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, you know, they've got information on everybody, and they keep track of everything that you do and search and things like that. What do you think that they are doing with our ufologists?
Oh,
and not the
course.
Big ones like Richard Dolan and people like that. The ones that are really into it and are really doing major research and getting into things that maybe they shouldn't know about.
I mean, over history, the government has infiltrated various UFO organizations just to know what they know. So they've, you know, they've monitored them over the years.
Well, they probably also infiltrate them to spread the disinformation.
Yes. I agree with you. It was funny, and I don't recall all of it, but I sent you an article tonight where I think a congressman and a woman, I forget what, she's a civilian, but she's high-ranking in the military, wants to start releasing more of the secret space information. They didn't say specifically what, but that's what they're proposing to do to gain the public support for the Space Force that we have now.
Right.
Marie.
Barbara Ferret.
Yeah. Okay, that's her name. Do you remember what her title is, Maria? I don't. I know she's a civilian.
The Secretary of the U.S. Air Force.
She's Secretary of the U.S. Air Force. Yeah, so that was in a defense publication, correct? 'Cause I haven't seen any of that in conventional news. Maria, one of the things I did, and I don't know if you want to spend a couple of minutes and go through it, but I jotted down some sites I would recommend people visit just so that they can maintain, kind of keep abreast of things if you want. I can go through that, or if not, we can go on to something else.
No, that'll be fine. That'll be great.
Okay. And I don't want to repeat what I did from last show. So I made a list of things, if anyone wants to, has a piece of paper and a pen, some things that might help you out if you're not familiar with it. But a couple of things for malware purposes I would recommend you install on your computers. A program, and there's a free version and a paid version called Malwarebytes, and I'll spell that for you. It's Malwarebytes. There's another very, very good one called SpyBot, Search and Destroy. So I highly recommend you put those on your computers. Now, last week, Maria and I were talking about a couple of search engines to avoid Google. I'll quickly repeat them. One was startpage.com and DuckDuckGo, D-U-C-K, D-U-C-K-Go. Those two search engines do not record your searches. Now, we did talk a little bit about this, so I'll go quickly. And then everything else is kind of new stuff, but there's a browser that's that you can use and use the internet anonymously, and they refer to it as Tor. It's a nonprofit. It was started by the Navy. It's quite legal. And if you go to torproject.org, download the browser. They have one that works with iOS, which is Apple or Microsoft. You download it. It puts a little icon on your desktop, and it looks like the green Earth. And then you can use the internet anonymously. Now, a lot of people, for years, I've been researching things called VPN, which stands for Virtual Private Network. And I had not found one that you can trust that has very clear privacy policies. Because VPN can record all of your searches and your IP address for that if they so choose. So I do have a friend that's highly technical, and he follows a couple of people that highly recommend a VPN, and you do have to pay for it, but it's called PrivateInternetAccess.com. Private Internet Access. And when I looked at it, it's highly recommended by many people in the technical industry. A couple of trade, I call them trade magazines that I follow daily. Now, I don't read everything. When I see a catchy headline especially, then I'll drill down in and read the article. But if you write down TechDirt, T-E-C-H-D-I-R-T, .com, you'll learn a lot about technology laws in there. And there's another publication I follow. Sometimes they'll talk about gaming and new gaming software, but they'll also talk about some of the issues that impact us every day using our computers. And the website is ARS Technica, TECHNICA.com. Another good source that would help many of you is EFF.org, EdwardFrankFrank.org, and that stands for Electronic Frontier Foundation. And they're a nonprofit set up to help us out by pushing, being advocates for our privacy. If you go to EFF.org and you go under tools, look for a thing called Surveillance Self-Defense. If you go through that, there's tutorials in there. You will learn a lot. So that's EFF.org. Look for tools, and underneath is Surveillance Self-Defense. Now, Maria, we did talk about Signal last week, but I'll just repeat quickly. If you install on your phone and two people have to use it, a software that's free because it's run by volunteers and it's open source. The code is open source. It's called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L. They have it for iOS and Android. And oh, by the way, if you go to EFF.org and look up Signal, they'll show you how to use it for both iOS, which is Apple, or an Android phone. We recommended last week. Yeah, so there's good tutorials there, Maria. Take a look at them sometime. And they're put in formats that even I can understand, so therefore anyone else can. And I know
Maria's
pulled
that up
while
you were talking about it, the EFF.org.
Uh-huh.
And when you go to the tools and the surveillance self-defense, and if you go scroll down, it'll have the tabs at the bottom of the page for how to use Signal on iOS and for Android.
Okay,
how to
so
enable
that's
the
part
two-factor
of
authentication. Yeah, it's got it all on there,
yeah.
So it's really easy to find.
Okay, great. So that's part of the surveillance self-defense, the Signal instructions?
Yes.
Great, thanks. So anyways, write those down. Those are excellent. You can learn a lot on the EFF site. Now, I don't know. Did we mention Proton Mail last week, Maria? I don't know.
We did not.
Okay. Right
I
now,
know that
there's
a lot of people have switched to that. One of the
other
ufologists that I speak with, she's gotten into the Proton Mail now as well.
Good, good. Well, let me just tell people really quickly. And what's funny is Maria, I have a Proton Mail that has my first, and I have a very common first and last name. And since I read these tech magazines, I knew early that Proton Mail was coming out. So I immediately applied for an account, and I had to wait a year because it was still in development at the time. But I was able to get my first and last name for the first time ever in an email. But let me just tell people really quickly about it. The servers are based in Switzerland, and the Swiss privacy laws are a lot more strict here. They just can't willy-nilly go get your information like what happens here. So if both parties have proton mail, and that's protonmail.com, the email between each party is encrypted. Now, don't be lulled to sleep on something. The metadata, and we talked about that earlier, that's the email address, subject line, date and time, that still does get exposed, but the body of the email is in fact encrypted. Now, Marie, you do know that when you're using your computer and you delete something, it's not really gone. You know that, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, for the people out there that do not know that, when you delete something on your computer, all that does, it moves it from a writable section of your hard drive, a non-writable section. So if you have a file named Sunshine and you decide to delete it, Sunshine is not, it's reserved in the area that's what's called non-writable because you saved it. But if you decide to delete the file, it goes into a writable section of the hard drive. It's not gone. It's still available on the hard drive. And that's how a lot of people get caught doing things that, I don't know if they're doing something they shouldn't do. The computer gets confiscated, and there's software that can obtain that file. So I won't spend time on it, but there is a piece of software called Eraser, E-R-A-S-E-R. And there's a free, it's free, and if you use that, it will actually shred the files so they're no longer recoverable. One place that, you could write this down too, it has great reviews, it's called CNET, CNET.com. But CNET runs a website called download.com. So you can go down to download.com. Look at reviews on various softwares, and you can download them from there. And I'm going to guess, I haven't looked on there for it, but I'm sure Eraser is on there. Now, Maria, do you know what websites know about you when you go to visit them?
Well, no, they put the cookies
right. Okay, if you have previously visited the website and they use cookies and they all use them, yeah, they kind of recognize that it's you. However, things they also know, for example, is they know the operating system you're using. So if you're using Windows 10 or Windows 8 or Windows 7, they know that. They also actually, believe it or not, you're going to laugh, they know the setting on your monitor. And there's many other hardware and software things that they know when you visit their site. And another thing they know is they know what website you came from. So a practice I put in place, once I read something, if I want to go to a different website, I always click on home. And I have my homepage set to one of the two search engines. Particularly, I have it set, mindset to startpage.com. That way, when I visit them, I'm always going from startpage.com. So that's all they get. Versus if you were, if you were on a medical site looking up something or, some hobby you had and went right to that site, they know the previous website you came from. So all they ever get from me is startpage. So that's just a little tip for some people out there, Maria.
That always helps. Tips with all this crazy privacy crap helps.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot from other people, but I've also learned a lot from reading the technical magazines and working with engineers and stuff like that.
Definitely. Nobody pays attention to any of this that's happening to them simply because none of the information has been used against them.
yet.
And they don't see where it's going.
No, that's true. But everyone should be concerned about what information they have on you. For example, a lot of the U.S. corporations, they helped the Germans during World War II. And when the Germans rounded up the Jews, they had information on where they all lived because of the census. But do you know who helped Germany automate their census back then?
Who helped them?
IBM.
Well, it's pretty sad.
Oh, it's pretty sad. Standard Oil was selling Germany oil during the war, too. Some of the things you read, Marie, it's absolutely incredible.
Well,
it's,
and that's
like,
things that nobody was going to be told back then.
No, but that's illegal. But, you know, nothing ever happens when people do things like that. It's like Operation Mockingbird.
They get a big sign, and that's about it. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's absolutely crazy, and lots of people don't even know what it is, Maria. They have no idea. And
it's still going on today. I mean, it's never changed.
I agree with you 100%. Do you want to talk about that real quick a little bit and tell people what it is that don't know, or do you want to move on?
Project Mockingbird was the CIA decided to recruit journalists and people, the news, to put out phony stories and put it all out.
They were doing that,
all
and they were also
information. And that started
back
in the 1950s, and it's still going on to today.
Yes. They were recruiting a lot of the foreign journalists, too, the CIA, and they were, they were using them for information. I believe they had over 400 journalists, and many of them were paid by the CIA. It's funny, they were funding student cultural organizations. They actually were operating magazines, too. Trying to influence the foreign media, political campaigns. They were spying on newsmen that weren't part of their operation. But what's really crazy, Maria, is a lot of the TV networks were complacent part of it too. And it's really kind of like you said. I don't think it ever stopped, but the New York Times worked with them, Time Magazine, ABC, NBC, Associated Press, AP International, Reuters, Hearst Newspapers, Scripps, Newsweek, and then there's a bunch of local newspapers too, like the Saturday Evening Post and the New York Tribune. Large newspapers all worked with them. And it's funny, I heard I won't say it on the air. I'll say it to you off air sometime. But another name that participated in it that would blow your mind, because all Americans watched this person and thought they were getting good news from this person. And if I said the name, you'd be very surprised. It was funny, though, after Watergate, information about Operation Mockingbird leaked out, and they had the church committee also, and they had the information on Operation Mockingbird, and they were complicit in that they didn't release the information. But it was eventually exposed, and there are some good data out there on it. I'm trying to think, a guy named Carl Bernstein, he has a website, too, and it's easy to remember because it's his name. So it's CARLBERNSTEIN.com. But he wrote an expose about it in Rolling Stone in 1977. So if you go on his website and look under magazine articles, you'll find a big expose a lot about this stuff. It was really funny, though, during the church committees. You remember what got exposed to Maria during the church committee, remember? Got exposed in front of Congress. You remember where I'm going with that?
Go ahead with it.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. You squeezed the trigger with it. I know you know because you've told me. The heart attack.
Yes.
You remember
right.
Now?
Yes. I remember that, and then there's also, yeah, and see that some of the stuff you were talking about when that came out in 1977, when articles like that would come out, people just thought you were crazy because that was in, you even thought that way, that you would think that your government would do things against you.
Oh, I know.
And now, it's like a common thing. People know the government are doing things against them, and they're not doing anything about it.
No, they're almost powerless to do it. I actually talked to a guy from an agency one time. He said they'll let you talk about whatever you want to talk about until you have an executable plan, and that's probably when your execution starts. But what we were
right.
just talking about is that came out as the CIA had a heart attack pistol. And I don't know what they shot out of it, but whatever projectile they used, it injected chemicals into you, and you died naturally of a heart attack. And that came out in those hearings. It was just kind of funny, you know, reading about that. Part of that, too, was the NSA ran Radio Free Europe and the radio industry, too. So, I mean, I don't think it ever ended, Maria. I don't think any of those things end. And I don't think the spying on America has ever ended either. And
no,
it does impact
and then you've got,
ufology.
You've got the, and like you were talking about, you've got the death of people that, you know, heart attack or suicide or things like that, like Phil Schneider, you know, they ruled that as a suicide, but later on that they, I don't know, his ex-wife ever finally got them to change that or not, but there was no way he could have committed suicide. And when you're trying to get information out to the public, and you've got people from the Pentagon that follow you around, and they don't want that information to come out, which I don't know why they care, simply because other people are looking at them like they're crazy.
Well, that's like, you know, any ufology stuff, and they do it with other things too. They make you out to be a crackpot, like you're
right.
a crazy person.
I mean,
to deflect the
right.
truth.
Right, and he was touring the country, telling people that there were underground bases with aliens in them, and that he was shot. And people, I mean, he almost died, but there were other people that did die. Okay, so that sounds insane to somebody
oh, sure.
that doesn't know that this stuff really goes on. So it makes me wonder why the government bothers to stick their nose into it. Sure, keep their eye on them and things like that, but what's it hurt? If most of the people think they're crazy, I don't understand why they keep trying to stop this information from coming out.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about the post office one time? Around here, and I think it's everywhere, but you thought it might not be everywhere, they removed the in-town boxes when you go to the post office. Because the post office is taking pictures of all the mail and storing that information. And when they got caught, now they offer it as a service. So you go to the post office and they will send you an email with pictures of all the mail that's on the way to you. Kind of a waste of our tax dollars, I would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, they're really good at that. They just hand our money or tax dollars over to make deals and get kickbacks for themselves. I mean, I'm speaking of our lawmakers and Congress and senators and all this. I mean, they just, it's just insane what they do with our tax money, and nobody bats an eye.
Well, how can you spend more money than you take in? Would you tell me, please? I don't get it.
Well, they're really good at it. They're really
good at
it. That's why they keep raising taxes to pay for something else.
Well, they keep spending in deficit mode. You remember about, was this maybe a year ago when they came out with your car controls can be taken over by a computer?
I remember seeing stories about that.
Yeah, about what, a year ago?
Well, it's been even longer than that, actually. But yes,
I've
heard about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just hits the media 2 years ago that they can hack your car remotely and they can turn up your accelerator, disable your brakes and things like that. Lock up your steering wheel. The government's known about that for 30 years, that they can do that. And it just now leaks out because, you know, it was a big secret. Everything's a big, big secret. It's unfortunate, but that's been known for many, many years, that as soon as cars had computers, they started computerizing them in what, maybe the late 70s, maybe? And I've read of people that buy cars pre-computer, cars that don't have any of the computerized stuff in them now, so that can't happen to them. It's like the black box. Do you know cars all have a black box in them? We talked about, we didn't talk about that last week, did we? I don't recall.
No, we didn't talk about the black box. Of course, everybody is familiar with that because they talk about that with airplanes and crashes and things like that. That's what they want to get, is that black box.
Yeah, it's funny. The black box is orange.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
it's funny
it
how that survives. But, yeah, your car records your speed when you braked, things like that, and it's kind of crazy. I had someone try to tell me that records audio, but I don't know about that. There were car companies, though, that somehow, so maybe they were right, they knew what the radio stations you were listening to on your car,
That's called OnStar. A lot of the newer cars, and mine is the same, but it has OnStar capabilities. Now, I don't subscribe to it or use it for any reason. But, that would be if they could turn that on if they wanted to.
Yeah, so they can track your location that way. Another thing, and it's funny, I actually looked for one. I didn't spend lots of time, but because everyone has GPSs in their phone now. But you know how the GPSs you could always buy and, stick them to your windshield or whatever? That retains in memory everywhere you've driven, but there's no way to delete it. And police know how to access it, too. It's kind of strange that I'd love to know how they do it. I'd love to be able to have one that I can delete where I went.
Okay, that's something. Yeah, that would be good. But, I've had to use it on my phone before trying to, with my job, if I was going to an area that I'm not familiar with. So, and I've used it. And whenever you go back to use it again, it brings up an old address that you have searched before.
Yeah, they always say if you have one, you know how you can program in your house and just hit home? They always say don't do that, because if someone steals it or something, they know where you live. You know what I mean? But
right.
I was crazy.
They can find that information online anyway.
Yeah, my kids bought me one years ago, and of course I unfortunately didn't get the updates with it. But now they're proposing that all the highways get renumbered. I'm sure you've heard of that. So my GPS
will be... Yeah,
several
of them around my area have done that.
Oh, they've already done it?
Yes.
Okay, my state is fighting it. The governor doesn't want to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, he's trying to fight it. So I don't know.
I think
what's
one of the major roadways around here has already been renamed. If this is the second time it's been renamed since I've lived in this area in the last 20 years.
Oh, really? It must confuse people big time, huh?
Well, you can tell their age by what they call that road.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, because and everybody, even young people, because everybody calls it one road, it'll be three different names. And
huh.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
They
so.
Do that around. Yeah, they do that here. They name a section of highway after somebody, and no one ever calls it that. It's kind of crazy. It's just confusing
it
to people. It's very
it
confusing.
Is.
Hey, Marie, I have some funny, you never know who your neighbor is stories if you want me to tell you.
Well, you told me to remind you of the walking table story.
Oh, you want to hear the walking table story?
Yeah, we've got about enough time for that.
All right, this is a little crazy. So I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 19 or 20. I was going somewhere with a friend of mine, and his girlfriend was with him. And she had to stop in her house. So we went in with her, and her mother and her older sister, who was much older than her, she didn't live there. She was in the living room. She looks at my friend and I, and she says, "Hey, have you ever seen a table walk?" And, of course, we shook our head no. And then she said, "Well, would you like to?" Now, I don't know who would say no, so, of course, we said yes. So we got a coffee table, one of the four-foot square coffee tables out of a closet, and we set it up in the living room and grabbed four chairs from the kitchen. So we sat down, and my friend was straight across from me, and the two sisters were looking at each other on the other side. So the woman has us put our fingertips on the table. So our fingertips are on the table, and our thumbs, we're touching our own thumbs together, and we extend our little fingers out to touch the little finger of the person on our left and right. So then, unbeknownst to us, the woman starts conjuring up the old relatives. And if they're there, show us a sign and things like that. And I really wish I paid more attention to what she said. Well, after probably 15, 20, maybe 30 seconds tops, this table starts going back and forth and back and forth. And Maria, the only way I could describe it to you is it was like going away from me and towards me. It was the direction of the table was going. Now, it was going back here as fast as I'm saying this now, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And my hands are shifting front, back, front, back. And that table is rocking. Now, being the curious type, what do? I lean down underneath to make sure no one is touching the table. And it's funny, as I look down, what do I see? My friend across from me looking under the table at the same time. I don't know how long that table rocked, as fast as I could move my hands forward and back. But that thing rocked back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Maybe 15, 20 seconds, Maria. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It was unbelievable. I don't know how the table rocked, but it did.
That is enough to creep you out, especially at a young age.
Yeah, no kidding. And apparently she had done this many times before to offer up us to see a table walk. That was a very, very crazy story. I will never, ever forget that. And no one was rocking the table, Maria. No one was
well, thank
doing
goodness
it.
She didn't. Thank goodness she didn't offer you all up to something while you were there.
Yeah, I would have got the heck out of there fast.
Definitely.
That's my table rocking story. Some other time I've got three crazy neighbor stories of you never know who your neighbor is. I'll tell you one a friend told me really quick in 30 seconds or less. My friend was a baseball umpire, and he was doing a game, and he was feeling bad, like he was having a heart attack. Somehow he finished. It was towards the end he started feeling bad, so he drove himself to the emergency room in the hospital. They admitted him immediately and put him in a bed in the emergency room. And you know how they put the white curtains on each side of it? Well, they never pulled the curtain around, but there was a curtain on each side. Well, the next thing they know, they're bringing in a lineman who had been electrocuted, and they put him in the bed beside him. And, of course, the doctor runs in, and he can hear they're using the paddles on the guy. You know the paddles they use to shock your heart.
Yeah, well, the defibrillators.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. A few minutes later, they stopped, and he heard them declare the guy dead. And you know how they declare him dead at a certain date and time. He told me, so the doctor and nurse left, and he told me a few minutes later, he saw the guy they wheeled in because he could see him on the gurney that they pushed in. He said he saw this guy walk right in front of him, stop. And you know how when you look at someone, you like nod your head like come along and you tilt your head kind of? He told me this guy, it wasn't an apparition, it wasn't see-through, it looked like, you know, he was there in real life. He looked at my friend, gave him the nod like, come with me. My friend said to him, no, I can't go with you right now, it's not my time. Well, he made the mistake of telling the nurse later, and what do they do? The hospital shrink shows up, and this guy, Maria, would not make up a story like that. And to this day, I believe him. He died at 63, unfortunately, but yeah, I'll never forget my friend told me that. So there you go.
Wow.
I'll save my neighbor, my crazy neighbor stories for next time.
Yeah, and like you were talking about, nurses and doctors see a lot of stuff that they don't really want to talk about. But, yeah, they see crazy stuff like that all the time. And it's pretty amazing to listen to them sometimes.
I wanted to thank you
for doing part two this evening. We didn't get to everything that we wanted to, but it was great information. And thank you for taking the time out, because I know it's late where you are.
It's fine, Maria. Well, thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun with you this evening. Hopefully we're informative to people.
I hope so. I hope that helps a lot of people. Thank you, Ken, and I will speak to you soon.
All right. Take care, Maria. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was a lot of information, and I hope everybody was able to take notes on the websites and to be better able to protect your privacy. And a lot of our information is already out there on the internet, and you can take some steps to maybe remove some of that. And I hope a lot of this information this evening will help you. I am going to sign off now. I wanted to thank everybody for listening. Jason and Sherry should be back next week with our regular Paranormal Horizons, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us.